And I would invite you to claim that promise. I would invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Creator God, thank you for Jared, for the place he shared in our hearts and lives, for the memories, the stories, the love, the words greatly missed don't begin to come close to describing the feelings that are permeating our hearts and minds. Once again, we've been reminded how precious life is, how fragile life can be, and that things in this life are all too often not fair. Our hearts are hurting, our minds are searching. We come to you for comfort and for hope. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. An unknown author penned these insightful lines. There are things we don't want to happen, but have to accept. Things we don't want to know, but have to learn. And people we can't live without, but have to let go. In the few moments that we're spending here today, I'd like to just share with you the plan. It's very simple. I'm going to talk for a few moments about who God was and is. And then we're going to talk about who Jared was. The Bible is filled with stories. Stories about God and his relationship with man throughout the centuries. And through these stories, we can see and begin to understand a bit of who he was and who he is. Jared's life, too, was one of stories. And as Kelly says, and you'll find it in your service folder, one of the best ways to remember Jared is to share stories about his life. We're going to be doing that. We're going to invite you to do that. You've seen some of those stories on the storyboards. We've talked about some of those at the park. We're going to do some of those afterwards. We're going to have a time right at the end for family and friends to share those stories. You can write some of those down. You can share those verbally. But those will be a blessing. It'll be an honor to Jared. It'll be a blessing to Kelly and to each family member, remembering what Jared was like. Don't get nervous about the Bible stories. I'm not going to try to verify every point that I'm going to allude to. We're not here for that. But I would like to share briefly some tips of the iceberg points. And if you're not acquainted with those icebergs, I would invite you to check them out as God gives you time later. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible stories reveal that God had a plan. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. A few verses later, God said, then let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so he created man. It's my understanding that he made us to think and to do. I kind of think Jared was close to the epitome of that. Thinking and doing. That's what God is like, creating. Not just being satisfied with the ordinary and the routine. God had a plan. He made this world a place filled with plants and animals and things we can't see because they're either too small or they're too far away. Things of intricate and fantastic beauty, and he did it for us. These are things that I understand Jared enjoyed. Hiking, camping, biking, being outdoors. God made these things for us, and his plan extends far beyond anything we can see, comprehend, or imagine. And when he got done with creation, he looked at it all and he said, it is good. Point number two, somebody messed with God's plan. I know many of you, And many of you know that that person who messed with God's plan, we call him Satan, the devil. And because of that, there is an age-long conflict going on between good and evil. We live in and on a battlefield. There's a war going on. And in a war, there's often a lot of confusion as to what is right and what is wrong. In a war, good and innocent people get hurt and sometimes lose their lives. We live in the land of the enemy. This is not our home. And so, number one, God has a plan. Number two, somebody messed with God's plan. Number three, death was not intended to be part of God's plan. What we're feeling and experiencing here today was never part of God's ideal, never part of his plan. Billy Graham once wrote, "God never meant that men and women should die. There was no death in the Garden of Eden, no pain, no tears, no suffering. But God has a plan to deal with death. It is an enemy, a conquered enemy." And we find in the Bible stories, stories of resurrection. We find the story of the resurrection of our Creator, Jesus Christ himself, who died and came back to life again. And because he lives, we too can live. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep." And as you know, the Bible often refers to death as a sleep. "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." I don't know what that's going to look like, but I want to be there to see it, don't you? Change. Stories of the resurrection. And then in that same passage, Paul says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's going to be taken care of. It's going to be done away with. And the day is coming when we will ask in triumph, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting?" Paul Philip Gully, in his book entitled For Everything a Season, a book based on the Old Testament passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it says, "For everything there is a time and a season." And he begins by saying there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, and he goes on and on. Philip Gully writes this, and he asks this penetrating question to begin with. He said, "Is there anything good about death?" And his answer, he says, "Death jogs our minds about what's most important. It separates wheat from chaff. Life isn't about money and big houses or fancy cars and titles. It's about family and friends and our relationship with God and whether we love." And he says, "We can't fit all of that on a tombstone. And so we carve our names and our dates of birth and death, and we hope that somewhere between those two dates, life was well lived." I've gotten the idea, talking with Kelly, that Jared had a life that was well lived. Not long enough, but a life that was well lived. The fourth and last point that I'd like to bring to our attention is that God's plan is still in place and it will be carried out. He will win. We can count on him. And even at times when we may not see or acknowledge him, he is there and he cares. God specializes in solving problems, in taking bad situations and making good out of them. There have been a lot of delays between creation and now because of the war we're in. But I find in Revelation chapter 21 a reminder of what we have to look forward to. And John in vision said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I want to be there, don't you? This old world, as good as it is, as beautiful as it is, as full of pleasant and supportive relationships as it is just an appetizer for what God has in store for us. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that's based on his word. And so in conclusion, I'd like to suggest to you that the Bible may not have all of the answers to this life's problems, but I believe it has sufficient answers. From Genesis to Revelation, we will find stories of God's interrelationship and an interaction with mankind that reveal his love, his patience, his plan to save us, if at all possible. His plan has been messed up, but his plan will be carried out. Death will be abolished, and everything will be made plain. I understand Jared was wearing or carried with him. Was it a personal tracking device? Is that what you call it? I'd like to think that because of who God is and because he made us with a plan and a purpose, that each one of us have a personal tracking device. That no matter what happens to us, God knows where we are. He knows when we're moving. He knows when we stop. He cares about us. Jared had a physical personal tracking device, and I feel convinced that his Heavenly Father had one for him too. Some stories about Jared.